on a night moon.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly.
I love it at night.
On King of OX.
Perhaps one of St. Louis's most recognizable voices. She is the leader of the Knights of Swing, a 16-piece orchestra playing big band favorites from the 1930s and 40s. She's also our newswoman here at the Voice of St. Louis on Monday nights, and she's kind enough to spend a few minutes with us now. Maria Kina, how are you, kid?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well. So you're a vocalist. You sing. You're the lead singer of your Knights of Swing band, 16-piece orchestra, lots of instrumentation going on. Do you have perfect pitch?
I don't think so, but I've heard that if you do have perfect pitch, sometimes you will see colors when you close your eyes, and sometimes I do see colors.
You do?
Depending on the notes, but I don't think I have perfect pitch.
Well, Michael, no. Michael Kelly's in Michael Kelly's in Florida. He sees colors all the time. How's it going out there, big boy?
Perfect pitch. I mean, I would think that Maria Kina's voice alone is perfect pitch.
Well, she's got a very distinctive voice. There's no question about it. It's
a sexy voice.
Well, one could say that, Michael. Yes. And I was curious, though, Maria, because I've heard you perform a couple of times now. Yeah. And have you modeled your vocal style on any particular performer?
Well, I've listened a lot to Frank Sinatra to hear the phrasing that he does. If you notice, you never hear Sinatra ever take a breath in a song.
Is that right?
Never. Listen to it sometime. There's no breath.
He doesn't breathe.
And that's because he learned, bless you, man, that's because he learned from Tommy Dorsey with the trombone and circular breathing.
Yeah.
So he learned very early on how to do his phrasing and not to do any, you know.
What is circular breathing?
Well, circular breathing is really, it's really something brass players, trombone players do it a lot. It's where you're breathing in through your nose while you're playing. It's very difficult. Really, really difficult. And you can play for a really long period of time because you have more air that way.
Yeah, you know, that kind of reminds me of my CPAP.
Circular CPAP.
Yeah, you can breathe in through the nose, and there you're breathing all night long, and you sleep like a baby. It's well, that's interesting. So that's but other than Sinatra, there's not a female vocalist that you look to as an inspiration.
Yeah, Billie Holiday probably.
Oh, Billie Holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, we can pull some of that up, PJ, for later in the segment here. And the other thing, because I perform some myself.
I always thought Billie Holiday was a dude.
Did you really?
Yeah, shortstop for the Rangers back in the 1970s.
Yeah, I wouldn't have had much exposure to I know the name Billie Holiday, but I had no idea that it was a lady.
Tremendous blues singer.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, thank you. Thank you for that contribution here, Michael, to this musical segment.
Whatever I can provide.
Yeah, buddy, you're doing all you can, and I appreciate it very, very much. So I was going to ask you, though, because you perform a lot, and you've been performing for a long time. Do you ever experience stage fright?
Every time I go out there.
Is that right?
Every time.
And what is it? What sensations are going on when you're getting on the stage, you're getting ready to sing, the band starts playing the tune, you're approaching the microphone? What are the feelings, sensations that you're dealing with?
Well, A, that I don't forget the lyrics.
Yeah.
And that has happened no matter how many times you sing a song, you'll forget the lyrics. Just the fact that it goes really well and that everybody's happy with it. I don't like to look at people's faces when I sing because it really makes me nervous. So I look at the top of their heads.
Oh.
I'm actually pretty bashful in that department.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to hear myself on the air either.
Yeah, yeah.
So I try not to. Well, you have to listen to yourself when you sing.
Well, I'll tell you, if you look at the top of my head, you're going to see some bright lights.
I was just going to ask if she has the same nerves when she's on The Voice of St. Louis, because if you're looking at John right now, you're probably just seeing the sky, bright light.
It's like a halo, Michael.
It is. It's like a little angel halo.
Yes, exactly.
Little angel.
So you've got these 15 other musicians with you on stage.
Yes.
I would assume that none of them do music full-time, or is that a wrong assumption?
Well, A lot of them were musical teachers.
Oh, okay.
Music teachers.
Yep, yep.
And
so
yes.
In schools, grade schools,
right.
High schools.
Band directors for many years. Because
yeah.
You saw the diversity of the band as far as age.
I mean, it's a real span. You've got like 19-year-olds and 60-something-year-olds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of, which is great to have that experience there from the older band members.
Yeah.
Because they could teach so much, you know, that we never even think about. As far as, and I've had guys play with us and gals who do this professionally. I mean, Carol Beth True is a really fine pianist here in St. Louis, and she has played with us. And that's her full-time gig. She has made a living at it.
Wow.
So we do have those kind of musicians in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's not common. And I think it's less common perhaps today than it used to be. I think you know, you go back to the 60s, you go back to Gaslight Square.
Yes.
I mean, you know, a lot of people supported families playing music. And I think you see that less so today, but I'm glad some people are still doing it.
Yeah.
Because that's really important to be able to, you know, express yourself and have that outlet. Where do you go to hear live music in town? Is there any place, any kind of music that you seek out?
Jazz at the Bistro. I'll go there, you know, depending on who's there.
Yeah.
As far as,
that's a great venue, by the way.
Oh, my, it's a great, fabulous venue to see.
So I don't know when the last time you were, I was there a year ago, and they've got, they got the floor seating, the little round tables, the stage is right there, and then they've got this, I guess it's a bar that goes across the second level. And you just sit at a spot behind the bar, and they bring you food, and they bring you drinks, and then you're looking down on the stage. It is a marvelous venue.
It is, and you know what's really cool about it? People that go in there know that it's a listening room. The lady who founded Jazz at the Bistro, which when it was called Just Jazz, Barbara Rose, was very adamant about that. This, you don't come in here to like,
and
yuck
right,
it up.
Right.
Right? It's a listening room.
Yeah.
And that's what you're there to do because it's disruptive to have
you know,
people doing that.
That's an... That's a really interesting thing. So I've got a lot of friends that play music, you know, for a living. And one of their pet peeves is to go and start playing music and the audience is all out there talking amongst themselves.
Yeah.
Is that something that bothers you as well as a performer?
The one thing I could say is since there's so many of us, you know, since we've got that big of a band and you have all the brass instruments, we don't necessarily hear it up on the stage as you would if you're up there with the three-piece band.
Or
like a
solo
little trio.
Piano.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's real. And depending on your venue, too, what kind of, you know, room is and how the sound is working. Like, if you go into the Sheldon, you actually don't even need a microphone to sing in the Sheldon.
That place, that venue is incredible.
Acoustics are incredible.
Yeah. And you've sung there?
I have. Yeah.
It really is a phenomenal venue. Let's talk a little bit about the emotions that music brings. Are there certain songs that take you back to a certain time, a certain place, and what are they?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think we've talked about this before. I used to have my mom's Victrola and play all of her songs.
Yeah.
So one in particular is Blue Gardenia by Dinah Washington.
Yeah.
And one of our band members, Terry Vann, trombone player, just did an arrangement for me. So we're just starting to play that.
Nice.
And anytime I hear that song, I immediately think of my mom and what her face looked like when she would hear that come on and how she taught me the song.
Yeah.
You know, she said, you got to listen to this song. It's Blue Gardenia. And actually, Nat King Cole did it first in a movie. It was a noir movie called Blue Gardenia. And then Dinah came along and recorded it a few years later. So, yes, absolutely.
It does. Music transports you almost like nothing else
in
life does. It's really, and there's a magic there. That is just so special. And when you're making music, and I know some of our listeners out there are musicians as well, there's just, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but when you're making music, there's a feeling that you get that's unlike anything else.
Anything else. You could be exhausted. I could be in a really bad mood. And if I get up on that stage, it completely leaves immediately. Immediately, because you look at people, they're having a good time, they're enjoying the music. And you think, look what we're doing. This is making him happy.
And I'll tell you who's doing it. It's the Knights of Swing here in St. Louis. You can find them on Facebook. Maria Kina is their band leader. Thank you so much for this wonderful visit that we have every Monday. Michael Kelly and John Hancock alongside. There's a little Billie Holiday coming up for Michael Kelly's benefit. Let's listen to Billie Holiday sing the blues.
In my solitude.
everybody. That's Billie Holiday.
You have me.
And as we shift gears on the old automatic transmission, manual transmission, we're going to come back and deal with our NFL insider after this on KMOX. Take it out, Billy.
In my solitude.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Each week in the National Football League, we witness a cascade of bone-crushing hits, breathtaking runs, and ballet-style tiptoes down the sideline. The drama, the deliberation, the dedication of 22 highly honed athletes competing on a gridiron of guts, glory, and game day perfection. Great teams are constructed in the off-season of the National Football League. And joining us is our NFL insider, as he does every Monday night, John Hancock. How are you, big boy?
Hey, now, doing well, doing well. How's it going, gentlemen?
It's great, man. The intros to your segment get better and better every week, John.
They do, yeah. I'm a fan of the mix-up.
Hey, brother, Chicago, how's the weather up there? We had record weather in St. Louis today. What was it like up in Chicago?
Yeah, we were in the 60s today. It's been a very mild winter. And, you know, St. Louis may be up there as well, but you know, as the temperature starts getting hotter and hotter everywhere, Chicago's going to probably end up being a great place to be.
Well, and no doubt about it, as we start to look at the draft, Chicago is going to be the center of attention. And I wanted to ask you, we've now learned that Justin Fields has cleared his social media. That's what the kids do, John, to send an indication to folks that he's no longer going to stick with the Bears. The Bears are indicating that they are going to execute their first pick, and they're going to go and take the young man from USC, Caleb Williams. Thoughts?
Yeah, so this is a situation that's in flux. I think most people are expecting them to take Caleb Williams with the number one pick, but there were some reports coming today that they may be looking to actually trade that number one pick, hang on to Fields, and get some increased draft capital. Obviously, they have this number one pick because they traded last year's number one pick to the Carolina Panthers, who drafted Bryce Young and ended up having the worst record in the league. So you can make the argument that you run it back with Justin Fields, you trade this number one pick. If there's any doubt in your mind, if you're Ryan Poles, the GM, that Caleb Williams is not the guy.
Well, it's been a quarter of a century. In fact, I think you were barely out of diapers when last we had an NFL season without Bill Belichick pacing a sideline for a National Football League team. Doesn't look like he's going anywhere this year. Is Bill Belichick done?
Yeah, it's kind of a shocking turn of events, the fact that he interviewed for the Atlanta Falcons job and didn't get it. And he's, you know, likely to be sitting on the sidelines here. I can't imagine he goes to TV, and I don't know if his ego is going to let him, you know, take an associate head coach, defensive coordinator role somewhere. I think his best bet, because he wants to beat Shula's record for the most wins of all time, is to take a year off and hope an opening comes up with the Cowboys or the Eagles or a team with a solid roster in place. And they want to, you know, take the roster that's ready to win a Super Bowl and hire Bill Belichick. But I don't think it makes sense for a lot of these teams that are rebuilding or really trying to build something for the future to put him in. Without Tom Brady, has not been too successful. But it is shocking to see who, you know, many consider to be the greatest coach of all time. Certainly the best, if not, or one of the best, if not the best of the 21st century. Just no one's willing to pick up the phone.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I've been watching this documentary on Bill Belichick on the Patriots dynasty. It just seems to me like the more that Bill Belichick has won, the less likable and less personality he's had. That's unfortunate because he arguably is one of the greatest coaches of all time. And one of the reasons he's the greatest coach of all time is he drafted well. And that whole process gets started here soon because the NFL Combine has started.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Should be a fun one. Always good to see who rises. There's usually a quarterback or two who shoot up the ranks. You know, Will Levis last year had a great showing in the Combine. The Kentucky quarterback ended up going to the Tennessee Titans, and it looks like he may be their quarterback next year. But it'll be fun to see what happens.
Yeah, and that's football. We're going to see that draft in April. We're going to keep an eye on that and see what develops. We've got the Kansas City Chiefs, who may be the next dynasty in the NFL. But our attention here in the city of St. Louis has shifted to Cardinal baseball, and the Cardinals have broken spring training. They played four games so far. The pitching's looked, I think you could make a case, the pitching's looked quite good. Any observations about the early camp here for our Redbirds, John?
Yeah, so the pitching has looked sharp for the most part. You know, a few hiccups here and there, but the past couple of games, they've been pitching well, and that's really what's going to decide this season for the Cardinals. It's not going to be the offense, which we needed to pick up, but we're going to need the pitching to, you know, step up significantly this year if we're going to have any chance. I think the roster as it is has a good chance of winning the Central. The Cubs haven't done all that much. Obviously, they did just bring back Cody Bellinger, but again, he was there last year. And if you look at Cody Bellinger's advanced stats, I'm talking his, you know, launch angle and barrel percentage. A lot of people are saying, and again, I don't dig into these numbers. I just listen to what the experts say on this, and they say a lot of it may have been luck last year. So I expect Cody Bellinger to regress. And I think the Central is going to be wide open. The Brewers have taken, you know, some significant steps back, losing two of their three aces they've had the past few years. And the Reds are just too young to really know better. So I think we can win this division. The pitching is where we're going to need to improve in the playoffs. And maybe one of these young guys, Gordon Graceffo, Tink Hentz, someone that we don't see coming is going to step up and really bolster the top end of that rotation because we need it.
Yeah, those two guys have been impressive in their first appearances so far this spring. And, you know, I do have concerns about the Reds because I think there's a lot of talent on that team. And some of the young arms, thinking about Hunter Green over there, are pretty good. One of the things about the Cardinals going into this year is they've added three new arms to the starting rotation, which is fairly unusual in Major League Baseball to turn over a rotation that dramatically in an offseason. It's also the second year of Cardinal catcher Wilson Contreras. A lot of controversy last year about Contreras' catching ability. Have you seen anything in the review of the early spring training and the preparation coming in that give us any indication about what's going on with Contreras?
Yeah, so there was some reporting that just came out that Contreras has been working on catching on one knee, which should let him have better command of the lower half of the plate. And last year he struggled with framing low pitches. So we'll see if he can bring that defensive effort up this year. That's going to be a key point of our success. If, you know, obviously he was benched last year because the Cardinals weren't thrilled with how things were going. He's a bat-first catcher, no doubt about it. But if he can bring that defense up, I think that's going to be a big part of this. He's one of a number of guys who have to have bounce-back years for us this year.
Yeah, I mean, his offensive production in the second half was phenomenal. But the catching ability, and of course, living through, you know, 15 years of Yadier Molina behind the plate, is those are big shoes to fill. Curious to get your thoughts. The Cardinals today made, to me at least, a surprise announcement. They've signed the veteran shortstop Brandon Crawford, a lifetime San Francisco Giant and several-time All-Star, three-time World Series winner, good fielder, and a pretty darn good hitter. I was surprised to see that acquisition. How do you see that fitting into the makeup of this club?
Yeah, so I think it was a good acquisition. You know, obviously things have gone askew if he ends up getting, you know, regular starting appearances, but I like this as a depth piece a lot. Mason, when it's short, is going to be, you know, he's young, and it's nice to have a veteran option you can pivot to if he's slow to start, especially with Tommy Edman. I believe it's a wrist injury that he's dealing with. If he's not ready to go, you lose another key piece you can plug into shortstop. I think it's a great depth move. He's a proven winner, and I think a good clubhouse guy. The Giants kind of known for their camaraderie over the past, you know, 10-plus years. I think it's a good signing and adds depth to the middle of the infield.
Well, it certainly adds a veteran shortstop who's been there and done that. And, you know, Mason Winn, what is he, 22 years old, something like that? I think it's – I was surprised at the move, but I really kind of like the move. So we'll see how that works out. Well, John Hancock, you're in Chicago, Illinois, and we will join you next week as we do every Monday here on the Hancock and Kelly Late Night Show. Thanks so much for your time this time. Until next time, we'll talk to you.
All right, take care.
When we come back – there's an infestation coming. It's going to be big. It's going to be historic.
Biblical.
Biblical, one might say. Yes, Michael. And we're going to talk about it after this on KMOX.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Yeah, you better get used to that. And even louder than that. Have you heard about this, John? So the University of Missouri has put out a notice that there will be a cicada emergence in 2024, this summer. Now, you got to love these academic types, right? The SMU Extension horticulturist, Tamara Riel, encouraged Mrs. Missourians to get out and enjoy the noisy musical emergence that won't happen again for many years.
And, many years.
This is related to the emergence of two factions of cicadas, that one that's on a 13-year cycle and one that's on a 17-year cycle, that are all going to come out at once and make a ton of noise and then, you know, shed their skins and die.
Make a ton of noise. Let me tell you what's going to happen. This is going to be hell. You got two broods. We haven't seen this formation of cicadas since 1803, Michael. That's a year of the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
We've not had this many. That we are going to have in St. Louis, in Missouri, in the Midwest, 1.5 million cicadas per acre of land.
Oh my God!
These things are going to be.
Is that really?
Yes, they're going to be, if you're sitting outside drinking a cup of coffee, forget about it. The cicadas are going to be in there.
So you mean to tell me that if you lived in, I don't know, like the Central West End, where there's less trees and dirt, that the sound's not going to be as loud? But if you go,
I'm not worried about the sound.
I don't know. Like,
I'm worried about these
God's country
slimy bugs descending upon my, you know, my
backyard.
Dessert.
Don't you think Gus will be eating them?
Oh, I hope so. You know, and how many zappers can you buy? Remember the old zappers in the backyard?
The purple zapper. Oh, I'm sure that they've been banned. I'm sure that's like
the bug zappers.
You know, you're killing.
You can
animals.
Still buy a bug zapper, can't you? Still buy. I'm going to have my whole backyard full of these. These things are going to be everywhere. They're going to be coming in the garage. They're going to be coming in the door when you're walking in.
No,
the cicadas,
they're nasty.
And they're big. These aren't. We're not talking.
They look like dragonflies.
They're miserable. They're awful. They're slimy and they're heavy. And they're going to land on your head when you get out of the car. They're going to. Imagine, Michael, imagine you have gone out there and you've fallen in love and you've had this magical courtship and it's a love you thought you'd never find, but you found it.
Right.
And it's beautiful. And the young couple, or middle-aged couple, as it were, go out and they pick out a wedding ring. And he places the ring upon her finger. And they say, I love you. Let's get married. Let's spend the rest of our lives together. Yes, they say. And then they sit down and they begin to plan. What would a magical union like this look like? Well, it would look like a wedding in Mom and Dad's backyard. They've got this beautiful expanse out there. And we're going to have all of our friends sitting in these little white cloth covered chairs and a little red aisle down the middle. And here come the bridesmaids, and they're dressed in their little slightly bluish kind of almost teal bridesmaid dresses. And they're the groomsmen in their black tuxedos standing there. And at the,
I think we get the point.
Say the third week of June, for example. And then the string quartet sitting over there with the two violins, a viola, and a cello.
Yeah.
And they're playing.
You're talking about a significant investment
Perhaps the greatest day of your life, the moment you've been waiting for maybe 40 years, Michael. And here in the midst of all of this grandeur and loveliness and beauty and love and commitment, are 1.5 million of these miserable cicadas descending upon the crowd.
I'm going to educate you about exactly what this is. Well, so think about being at this wedding.
Yeah.
The loud sound you're going to hear is from the male cicadas, and that's them sending out their mating call.
Well, everybody's
each cicada. Listen to this.
Yes.
Each cicada can make a sound as loud as a lawnmower and is unique to its species. That when they synchronize it can be as loud as a jet engine.
Turn that up, PJ.
So now listen to this. With five eyes each, of these cicadas has five eyes.
It's just like the Book of Revelation.
They are truly on the lookout for a mate. And so what will happen is they'll have only 4 to 6 weeks to go out there and squawk this noise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the women will get attracted to the loud noise. Help me out with that one.
There's 1.5 million of these things per acre. They're not going to have any trouble finding a mate.
So then after the female lays her eggs in the tree branches, her work is done. And his work is done.
Everything's
so
done.
The nymphs, that's what they call the kids, hence there's 1.5 million of them.
What do we got here?
The nymphs fall into the ground and burrow into the surface soil. And they start this 13 to 17 year process.
Yes. Except that this year we're going to have two broods of these things. We got the cicada, you know, X model and the cicada A model, and they're both coming together all at once. Hasn't happened since 1803. It won't happen again for 221 years, likely after most of us have passed away. And this is a biblical historic thing that we're going to be dealing with, folks. And I just want to prepare.
So what are you more excited for? Are you more excited for the fact that we're going to have this special cicada celebration, or we're going to get another full eclipse?
The eclipse comes along all the time. This thing here, this bug infestation. I mean, these are bugs, Michael. They're not even like, you know, they're bugs. I don't like bugs. I don't like crunchy bugs. Crunchy bugs are my... I don't mind spiders. I really don't. A lot of people have an aversion to spiders. No. I can take the spider.
Crunchy bugs? Like a cockroach, or
yes, a water bug back in the day.
Yeah, grasshoppers. Grasshoppers are crunchy.
Yeah, no. The
ladybugs?
I don't mind ladybugs. The June bugs. I mean, this is going to be... You're going to have, folks.
Ooh, the June bug. That's the million, one that flies into your windshield.
Yes.
Like a rocket.
Yes. Or, you're going to have 1 million of these things in your backyard if you live on an acre. And
if you're having a wedding, can you even imagine? It's going to be like having a jet engine going off
at the wedding. When you're trying to have messages of hope and love being delivered there by the pastor as he's trying to unite this couple in holy matrimony for what we hope is going to be a lifetime. And yet, there they are, these damn bugs. They're everywhere.
You know, a good pastor would find a way to work the message of the relationship and weave it into the cicada's story.
Well, you know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so I think the perfect picture here is that of the fly swatter. So... we're going to give everybody in the audience here a fly swatter of their very own, and they're going to be thwacking these things throughout the wedding. And this is what you do with conflict in a marriage. It comes up, you're going to be a disagreement about something, and you just swack it away because it's coming into your space. You don't need this ugly bug in your space. No. You swack it away, Michael, and this is what I think a skilled interpreter of the marital ceremony would be able to convey to the many listeners out there.
Is there a time of the day that it will be better to have an outdoor event than than others?
Like, there's a million of them. They're everywhere. They're, you know, some of them, I'm sure they're on different sleep schedules. I mean, you know, there's cicadas. You know, some of them are going to get drunk and they're going to, you know, sleep until noon or whatever. And the other ones are going to be up at nighttime. And if there's a million and a half cicadas for every acre, there's a good likelihood that 600,000-700,000 of them are going to be talking at the same time.
And what are the other unintended consequences of that? Like, will it cause all the animals that eat these bugs to multiply even more because
it's gonna be awful.
There's going to be a larger food supply?
It's going to be awful. I mean, it's just they're going to be on the ground. They're going to be dropping like cicadas. I can't begin. And I just wanted, as a public service to our few and proud listeners out there, to know that this is coming. It's not going to be. It's not something we can avoid. It's not something we can plan our way out of. No, no. This is going to beset all of us in a massive, massive way.
It's like love. It's just going to flush over us.
In the air, Michael. The cicadas, yeah. Like love, are in the air.
We got to step aside, brother.
We do when we come back. I have some assignments for my buddy while he's down there in Jupiter, Florida. We'll cover that and close this.
About to be a great night.
Really good tonight.
This is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Yeah, you better get used to that. And even louder than that. Have you heard about this, John? So the University of Missouri has put out a notice that there will be a cicada emergence in 2024, this summer. Now, you got to love these academic types, right? The SMU Extension horticulturist, Tamara Riel, encouraged Mrs. Missourians to get out and enjoy the noisy, musical emergence that won't happen again for many years.
And, many years.
This is related to the emergence of two factions of cicadas, that one that's on a 13-year cycle and one that's on a 17-year cycle. That are all going to come out at once and make a ton of noise and then, you know, shed their skins and die.
Make a ton of noise. Let me tell you what's going to happen. This is going to be hell. You got two broods. We haven't seen this formation of cicadas since 1803, Michael. That's a year of the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
We've not had this many. That we are going to have in St. Louis, in Missouri, in the Midwest, 1.5 million cicadas per acre of land.
Oh, my God.
These things are going to be.
Is that really?
Yes. They're going to be, if you're sitting outside drinking a cup of coffee, forget about it. The cicadas are going to be in there.
So you mean to tell me that if you lived in, I don't know, like the Central West End, where there's less trees and dirt, that the sound's not going to be as loud, but if you go,
I'm not worried about the sound.
I don't know.
I'm worried about these
God's country
slimy bugs descending upon my
backyard.
Dessert.
Don't you think Gus will be eating them?
Oh, I hope so. How many zappers can you buy? Remember the old zappers in the backyard?
The purple zapper. Oh, I'm sure that they've been banned. I'm sure that's like
the bug zappers.
You know, you're killing.
You can
animals.
Still buy a bug zapper, can't you? Still buy. I'm buying. I'm going to have my whole backyard full of these. These things are going to be everywhere. They're going to be coming in the garage. They're going to be coming in the door when you're walking in.
Ugh,
the cicadas, and they're big. We're not talking.
They look like dragonflies.
They're miserable. They're awful. They're slimy and they're heavy. And they're going to land on your head when you get out of the car. They're going to. Imagine, Michael, you have gone out there and you've fallen in love. And you've had this magical courtship. And it's a love you thought you'd never find, but you found it.
Right.
And it's beautiful. And the,
right.
And the young couple, or middle-aged couple, as it were, go out and they pick out a wedding ring. And he places the ring upon her finger. And they say, I love you. Let's get married. Let's spend the rest of our lives together. Yes, they say. And then they sit down and they begin to plan. What would a magical union like this look like? Well, it would look like a wedding in Mom and Dad's backyard. They've got this beautiful expanse out there. And, and we're going to have all of our friends sitting in these little white cloth covered chairs and a little red, horrible. A little red aisle bulbs. Down the middle. And the, here come the bridesmaids, and they're dressed in their little slightly bluish kind of almost teal bridesmaid dresses. And they're the groomsmen in their black tuxedos standing there. And at the,
I think we get the point.
Say the third week of June, for example. And then the string quartet sitting over there with the two violins, a viola, and a cello.
Yeah.
And they're playing.
You're talking about a significant
Perhaps the greatest day of your life, the moment you've been waiting for maybe 40 years, Michael. And here in the midst of all of this grandeur and loveliness and beauty and love and commitment are 1.5 million of these miserable cicadas descending upon the crowd.
I'm going to educate you about exactly what this is. Well, so think about being at this wedding.
Yeah.
The loud sound you're going to hear is from the male cicadas, and that's them sending out their mating call.
Well, everybody's
each cicada. Listen to this.
Yes.
Each cicada can make a sound as loud as a lawnmower and is unique to its species that when they synchronize
the men,
it can be as loud as a jet engine.
Turn that up, PJ.
So now listen to this. With five eyes each of these cicadas has five eyes.
It's just like the Book of Revelation.
They are truly on the lookout for a mate. And so what will happen is they'll have only 4 to 6 weeks to go out there and squawk this noise.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the women will get attracted to the loud noise. Help me out with that one.
There's 1.5 million of these things per acre. They're not going to have any trouble finding a mate.
So then after the female lays her eggs in the tree branches, her work is done. And his work is done.
Everything's
so
done.
The nymphs, that's what they call the kids, hence there's 1.5 million of them.
What do we got here?
The nymphs fall into the ground and burrow into the surface soil, and they start this 13 to 17 year process.
Yes. Except that this year we're going to have two broods of these things. We got the cicada, you know, X model and the cicada A model, and they're both coming together all at once. Hasn't happened since 1803. It won't happen again for 221 years, likely after most of us have passed away. And this is a biblical historic thing that we're going to be dealing with, folks. And I just want to prepare.
So what are you more excited for? Are you more excited for the fact that we're going to have this special cicada celebration, or we're going to get another full eclipse?
The eclipse comes along all the time. This thing here, this bug infestation. I mean, these are bugs, Michael. They're not even like, you know, they're bugs. I don't like bugs.
I don't like them.
I don't like crunchy bugs. Crunchy bugs are my. I don't mind spiders. I really don't. A lot of people have an aversion to spiders. No. I can take the spider.
Crunchy bugs.
Like a cockroach. Or a water bug back in the day.
Yeah, grasshoppers.
Oh,
grasshoppers are crunchy.
Yeah, no. The
ladybugs.
I don't mind ladybugs. The June bugs. I mean, this is going to be. You're going to have folks.
Ooh, the June bug. That's the one that flies into your windshield.
Yes.
Like a rocket.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You're going to have 1 million of these things in your backyard if you live on an acre. And
if you're having a wedding, can you even imagine? It's going to be like having a jet engine going off
at the wedding. When you're trying to have messages of hope and love being delivered there by the pastor as he's trying to unite this couple in holy matrimony for what we hope is going to be a lifetime. And yet, there they are, these damn bugs. They're everywhere.
You know, a good pastor
would
find a way to work the message of the relationship and weave it into the cicadas story.
Well, you know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so I think the perfect picture here is that of the fly swatter. So we're going to give everybody in the audience there a fly swatter of their very own, and they're going to be thwacking these things throughout the wedding. And this is what you do with conflict in a marriage. It comes up, you're going to be a disagreement about something, and You just swack it away because it's coming into your space. You don't need this ugly bug in your space. No, no. You swack it away, Michael. And this is what I think a skilled interpreter of the marital ceremony would be able to convey to the many listeners out there.
Is there a time of the day that it will be better to have an outdoor event than others?
Like, there's a million of them. They're everywhere. They're, you know, some of them, I'm sure they're on different sleep schedules. I mean, you know, there's cicadas. You know, some of them are going to get drunk and they're going to, you know, sleep until noon or whatever. And the other ones are going to be up at nighttime. And if there's 1.5 million cicadas for every acre, there's a good likelihood that 600,000-700,000 of them are going to be talking at the same time.
And what are the other unintended consequences of that? Like, will it cause all the animals that eat these bugs to multiply even more because
it's gonna be awful.
There's going to be a larger food supply?
It's going to be awful. I mean, it's just they're going to be on the ground. They're going to be dropping like cicadas. I can't begin. And I just wanted, as a public service to our few and proud listeners out there, to know that this is coming. It's not going to be. It's not something we can avoid. It's not something we can plan our way out of. No, no. This is going to beset all of us in a massive, massive way.
It's like love. It's just going to flush over us.
In the air, Michael. The cicadas, like love, are in the air.
We got to step aside, brother.
We do when we come back. I have some assignments for my buddy while he's down there in Jupiter, Florida. We'll cover that and close this wonderful program out after this on KMOX.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Kelly, I'm coming to you live from Jupiter, Florida. John Hancock's in studio in St. Louis. And brother, I'm standing here on my patio. You know, I am just steps away from Roger Dean Stadium down here in Jupiter.
Thanks.
And tomorrow I get to go to my first game.
Oh, geez. So what are you? What are the sights that you have there on the veranda?
Well, I'm looking down at one of your favorite restaurants, the Hibachi restaurant.
That's the one we got kicked out of, isn't it?
We did get kicked out of there, and I think we went down to Jumbie Bay to play pool, which I think we got kicked out of.
No, we've never gotten kicked out of Jumbie Bay. We did get kicked out of the Hibachi place, though. That's a true fact.
Well, I don't know that we were kicked out. I just think they told us, hey, you guys are done, you know, eating, or we're done serving you, and so you need to move on.
Yeah, that's a.k.a. getting kicked out. So,
I'm looking out at the ballpark, but let me tell you this, John. I need to understand what the heck is going on, because I found out we had another signing today. At the same time, I saw them pulling the benches out of the dugout and putting rocking chairs from Cracker Barrel in there. Hey, now. You laughed. It was funny.
I mean, it's a little older roster this year in a lot of respects, the starting rotation and so forth. I'm telling you, though, buddy, this is going to be a good team. Now, so you're down there, shall we say, on assignment?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
And assignments have tasks to fulfill. And so you and I, you're going to be down there on Friday morning when we're back here on the air at KMOX from 8:30 to 11.
I'm going to broadcast from the same place that, like, Matt Paul and Tom Ackerman broadcast.
Exactly, And you are assigned to get us some guests, okay? You can't just go down there and, you know, kick your feet up, sit out on the veranda and look out over the Hibachi place. No, no, you've got to go out and do some work, Michael, for the people.
All right, so here's my question. All right, here's the question. Yep. So you're wanting these guests to be on with me live on Friday.
You can record them. I'm not picky.
Okay.
Yeah, you take care of it. You record them.
So you want me to, like, tackle Ozzie Smith and when I see him tomorrow?
Don't want Ozzie. Okay. Here's what we got to have. Mm-hmm. All right, first and foremost, you got to get Katie Wu from The Athletic.
I saw her this morning.
Everywhere. And that will be easy. If you fail in that task, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
I will not fail. I literally saw her walking across the street this morning.
All right. So you're on that. Then, Michael, they're going to get a little tougher as time goes on.
Okay.
I want an interview with Michael Kelly and John Mozeliak.
That's not happening.
Yeah, it is. You just you say, "Hey, Mo, it's Michael Kelly from KMOX," and he'll say,
"All right."
Yeah. So yeah, you get him and talk about you know, whatever.
So all right, I will. Mo actually has seats, I think, around me, or at least I've seen him sit
in seats right around me. Should be a piece of cake.
I will try to walk up to him and just so I gather just what you think he's going to say when I say to him, "Hey, Mo, it's Michael Kelly." What do you think he'll say to me?
How you doing?
Okay, well, you're more optimistic
than I am.
They're
looking pretty good.
Because I think he'll be like, who's that?
Yeah,
he'll
okay.
Oh, I'm with your flagship station.
Yeah, of course. He's going to need to do that interview. So that's the second one you got to do. The third one, I'm going to give you an option here. All right?
Okay.
So it's either got to be, and he's pitching tomorrow, so I'm going to kind of take it easy. But you got until Friday.
Okay.
Sonny Gray, the Cardinal ace. Need to get him. Need to talk about his approach. You need to ask him about the sweeper, how he throws his sweeper, Michael, and have him describe and break down the sweeper for the people of St. Louis. All right?
Okay.
Either that. Right. Either that.
Okay. Or hope it's like Mike Claiborne.
Or the newest Cardinal, Brandon Crawford, three-time world champion.
I wouldn't even know who that is.
Well,
I don't know who that is.
He's cool looking. He's got long hair. He's got a beard. He's cool looking. Kind of looks
a
little like Jesus.
When I go up to him and I say, "Hey, Brandon, it's Michael Kelly," what is he going to say? He's going to look at me and be like, "Yeah."
So this guy's never been here before, Michael. So you come up and you say, "Hey, Brandon,
want some toasted ravioli?"
Hey, Brandon, it's Ricky Horton from KMOX, and I do the games. And can I just have a couple minutes with you to welcome you to St. Louis?
Okay.
And yeah, that's what you do there.
All right. That strategy may work.
Yeah, yeah. So we got Katie Wu for sure.
Okay.
John Mozeliak, which I'll be impressed if you get that done, but you could get it done. And then either Sonny Gray or Brandon Crawford. So that's your assignment, Mr. Phelps.
I don't know what either of those two guys look like, and I have a feeling a lot of people are wanting to talk to them.
So there's this thing. There's this thing, Michael, called
Google. Yeah.
And you can actually pull up it's amazing. You can pull up a picture of Brandon Crawford and Sonny Gray. And,
exactly.
And see what they – now, you won't be able to see Brandon Crawford with a Cardinal hat on in the Google. But although, you know, back in the day when I collected baseball cards, they used to – when the player got traded in the offseason, they would do a superimposed hat on their head and change the logo. Yeah.
I'm not aware if you're familiar with this, but there's something called AI. I think they probably got Brandon Crawford with a – you know, a Springfield Cardinal hat on if you wanted.
Well, yeah. So those are your assignments, and I'm looking forward to you completing them successfully by Friday morning.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be very disappointed if none of that.
Well, thanks for holding down the fort while I'm out of town, man.
Yeah,
and I look forward to talking to you on Friday.
Yeah, I got to leave the parking garage all by myself. That's always scary. It's going to be the best of Glover next, and then we got old... what's his name?
Lee Habib.
Lee Habib. And the news is next on KMOX.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Kelly, I'm coming to you live from Jupiter, Florida. John Hancock's in studio in St. Louis. And brother... I'm standing here on my patio. You know, I am just steps away from Roger Dean Stadium down here in Jupiter.
Thanks.
And tomorrow I get to go to my first game.
Oh, geez. So what are you? What are the sights that you have there on the veranda?
Well, I'm looking down at one of your favorite restaurants, the Hibachi restaurant.
That's the one we got kicked out of, isn't it?
We did get kicked out of there, and I think we went down to Jumbie Bay to play pool, which I think we got kicked out of.
No, we've never gotten kicked out of Jumbie Bay. We did get kicked out of the Hibachi place, though. That's a true fact.
Well, I don't know that we were kicked out. I just think they told us, "Hey, you guys are done, you know, eating, or we're done serving you, and so you need to move on."
Yeah, that's AKA getting kicked out. So,
So I'm looking out at the ballpark, but let me tell you this, John. I need to understand what the heck is going on, because I found out we had another signing today. At the same time, I saw them pulling the benches out of the dugout and putting rocking chairs from Cracker Barrel in there. Hey, now. You laughed. It was funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little older roster this year in a lot of respects, the starting rotation and so forth. I'm telling you, though, buddy, this is going to be a good team. Now, so you're down there, shall we say, on assignment?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
So,
definitely.
And assignments have tasks to fulfill. And okay. So you and I, you're going to be down there on Friday morning when we're back here on the air at KMOX from 8:30 to 11.
I'm going to broadcast from the same place that, like, Matt Pauly and Tom Ackerman broadcast.
Exactly,
from.
Exactly. And you are assigned to get us some guests, okay? You can't just go down there and, you know, kick your feet up, sit out on the veranda, and look out over the hibachi place. No, you've got to go out and do some work, Michael, for the people.
All right, so here's my question. All right, here's the question. Yep. So you're wanting these guests to be on with me live on Friday.
You can record them. I'm not picky.
Okay.
Yeah, you take care of it. You record them.
So you want me to, like, tackle Ozzie Smith and when I see him tomorrow? What
nope,
should I
don't
him?
Want Ozzie. No. Don't want Ozzie. Okay. Here's what we got to have. Mm-hmm. All right. First and foremost, you got to get Katie Wu from The Athletic. That's
I saw her this morning.
Of course.
I saw her this
She's
morning.
Everywhere. And that will be easy. If you fail in that task, I'm going to be very, very disappointed.
No, right? I will not fail. I literally saw her walking across the street this morning.
All right. So you're on that. Then, Michael, they're going to get a little tougher as time goes on.
Okay.
I want an interview with Michael Kelly and John Mozeliak.
That's not happening.
Yeah, it is. You say, hey, Mo, it's Michael Kelly from KMOX. And he'll say,
all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you get him and talk about,
all right.
You know, whatever.
So, all right. I will. Mo actually has seats, I think, around me, or at least I've seen him sit
in seats
right around me.
Should be a piece of cake.
I will try to walk up to him, and just so I gather what you think he's going to say, when I say to him, hey, Mo, it's Michael Kelly, what do you think he'll say to me?
How you doing?
Okay, well, you're more optimistic
They're
than
looking
I am,
pretty good.
Because I think he'll be like, who's that?
Yeah, no.
I'm with your flagship station.
Yeah, of course. He's going to need to do that interview. So that's the second one you got to do. The third one, I'm going to give you an option here. All right?
Okay.
So it's either got to be, and he's pitching tomorrow, so I'm going to kind of take it easy. But you got until Friday.
Okay.
Sonny Gray, the Cardinal ace. Need to get him. Need to talk about his approach. You need to ask him about the sweeper, how he throws the sweeper, Michael, and have him describe and break down the sweeper for the people of St. Louis. All right?
Okay.
Either that.
Okay. I hope it's like Mike Claiborne.
Or the newest Cardinal, Brandon Crawford, three-time world champion.
I wouldn't even know who that is.
He's cool looking. He's got long hair. He's got a beard. He's cool looking. Kind of looks
well,
a little like
Jesus.
When I
go like up
Jesus.
To him and I say, hey, Brandon, it's Michael Kelly. What is he going to say? He's going to look at me and be like,
this guy's never been here before, Michael. So you come up and you say, hey, Brandon.
Want some toasted ravioli?
Hey, Brandon, it's Ricky Horton from KMOX. And I do the games. And can I just have a couple minutes with you to welcome you to St. Louis?
Okay.
And yeah, that's what you do there.
All right. That strategy may work.
Yeah. So we got Katie Wu for sure. Okay. John Mozeliak, I'll be impressed if you get that done, but you could get it done. And then either Sonny Gray or Brandon Crawford. So that's your assignment, Mr. Phelps.
I don't know what either of those two guys look like, and I have a feeling a lot of people are wanting to talk to them.
So there's this thing. There's this thing, Michael, called
Google. Yeah.
And you can actually pull up. It's amazing. You can pull up a picture of Brandon Crawford and Sonny Gray. And see what they now. You won't be able to see Brandon Crawford with the Cardinal hat on in the Google. But although you know, back in the day when I collected baseball cards, they used to when the player got traded in the off season, they would do a superimposed hat on their head and change the logo. Yeah,
I'm not aware if you're familiar with this, but there's something called AI. I think they probably got Brandon Crawford with a. You know, a Springfield Cardinal hat on if you wanted.
Well, yeah. So those are your assignments, and I'm looking forward to you completing them successfully by Friday morning.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be very disappointed if none of that.
Well, thanks for holding down the fort while I'm out of town, man.
Yeah,
I look forward to talking to you on Friday.
Yeah, I got to leave the parking garage all by myself. That's always scary. It's going to be the best of Glover next, and then we got old what's his name?
Lee Habib.
Lee Habib. And the news is next on KMOX.